Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. And we'll be focusing specifically on verses 21 through 26, but those verses are the conclusion of the bigger section. And so I'm going to read the verses 12 through 26 this morning as we begin. Philippians chapter 1. I'll be reading the verses 12 through 26, which with special emphasis on verses 21 through 26. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Philippians chapter 1, the verses 12 through 26. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. These are familiar words and familiar verses to many of us. Some of us perhaps have these verses memorized, then we can recite them at any time. Before my grandmother passed away last May, my 98-year-old grandmother would often quote these verses, in particular, verse 23, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. She would often say that as someone who's 98 years old, she's not able to do things anymore, and thus, since she's not worthwhile, she longs to go and to be with Christ, which is better by far. In fact, so often did she quote this verse, and often on the at the end of her letters, I use this particular passage and these particular verses for the text for the sermon that I preached at her funeral. For her longing was to depart and to be with Christ. As I've continued my study in these verses more in depth this past week, I've discovered that there are different interpretations to these verses. One of the more popular recent interpretations is that as the Apostle Paul is writing these verses, he is somewhat suicidal. I long to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. These authors conclude that the apostle is so discouraged by his situation. He is suffering so much in the chains. He is experiencing the terrible situation of prison and of knowing that the church, some of them, are preaching the gospel out of envy and rivalry, selfish ambition, stirring up trouble for him while he is in chains. What a discouraging situation this must have been, some of these writers have written. Thus, the apostle, as he writes these words, he longs to escape. He longs to leave this present world, to be with Christ, and just to end it all in one final moment. But is this truly the meaning of Paul's words? When he writes, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, is this somewhat of a suicide note that the apostle is writing? Is his desire to truly escape from this present world and his circumstances? As we look at these verses, I believe we will come to a different conclusion. One of the main points that the apostle is making in Philippians chapter 1 is that nothing can separate him from Jesus Christ. He belongs to Jesus Christ. He identifies with Jesus Christ as his Savior. And because he identifies so closely with Jesus Christ as his apostle, Paul identifies with the other world. He identifies his life even now with the kingdom of heaven. And as he lives his life out of the heavenly realms here upon this earth, nothing that happens to him upon this earth matters. Nothing matters. In these verses that I have just read, verses 12 through 26, many of the commentators describe this as Paul's missionary report. The Philippians are concerned about the apostle because they have heard about his arrest. And as Paul writes in verses 12 through 14, he sees his arrest as not something which is terrible suffering for him. But he recognizes that God is using his arrest, his imprisonment, his chains for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. In verses 15 through 18, the apostle writes of those within the church who are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry to Paul and his ministry. They are preaching Christ out of selfish ambition for their own gains and not for the kingdom of Christ. In verse 17, we read how they have supposed to stir up trouble for him while he is in chains. It is the kind of thing that could take the heart and the soul right out of a preacher. Here he's been so faithful to Christ and serving him. He's been put in chains, but not only is he attacked from the outside, he's attacked from the inside by his very own fellow believers. But again, Paul is not discouraged. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Nothing is discouraging for the apostle because he is so intimately close with his Savior and with the other world. For whether to live or to die is Christ. You see, so intimate is he with his Savior and with his Lord that nothing can separate him from this world and the heavenly world. Not even death can separate him from Christ, for as he would die, he would enter into the presence of Christ in an even greater way. And so someone might ask, how can the apostle write verse 21? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He is suffering so much. Perhaps, as they have written, he is considering suicide at this point. No. The apostle is overjoyed. In fact, he makes this specific contrast for us so that we can recognize how he can write and how he can say such things. How can he not be discouraged about his life? How can he not be discouraged about the circumstances that have come upon him? The circumstances that God is obviously in control of and that he knows God is in control of. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, the apostle is contrasting life and death. And for many of us, as we understand the contrast between life and death, we might think to ourselves, well, one is a positive and one is a negative. Life is positive, death is negative. This is not the case for the apostle. For to me to live is Christ. Living is a positive because it's living for Christ. And to die is gain. You see, because of his understanding of his relationship with Jesus Christ and the intimate relationship he has with him and the other world, the heavenly world to which he already belongs, to die is not a negative, but a positive. A positive because he gains becoming in the presence of Jesus Christ all the time. But notice what he writes in verse 22 as he goes on. For if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Does that sound like a man ready to commit suicide and end it all because he wants to escape? This is a man who lives his life in Christ. And whether he lives or whether he dies, as long as Christ is glorified, it matters not to him. To live for Christ means that he would live on, going on as an apostle of Jesus Christ, witnessing for him. His fruitful labor, it means that the apostle recognizes that if he lives, even if he is in chains, his labors for Christ upon this earth will go on. Yes, it's better to depart and to be with Christ, but as long as Christ is glorified upon this earth, and if I can serve him while in the body, even though suffering, and Christ is glorified, fruitful labor takes place, all the better, tells us the apostle. Well, you may ask yourself, what kind of fruitful labor goes on for the apostle? He's in chains, he's suffering. Well, remember what he wrote in verse 14. Because I am in chains for Christ, most of the brothers in the Lord have become encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. He may be suffering, but God is continuing to bless the fruitful labor of his ministry, even in his suffering, even in his life. You see, the apostle is so closely identifying with his Savior, he turns what could be a negative into a positive. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died, from an earthly perspective, it looked like a negative. Satan thought he had won. He destroyed the Son of God. He put him on the cross. But God turned the negative, his suffering and dying, into a positive beyond all belief, a resurrection from the dead. And the Apostle Paul recognizes that even though he is suffering, so closely is he identifying with his Savior, he suffers as his Savior suffers, and he recognizes that God turns the negative into a positive, bringing about fruitful labor for him here upon this earth while he goes on living in the body. That's not a suicide note. That's recognizing that God can use the power of an apostle who, in an earthly perspective, looks weak and on the verge of dying into a powerful witness for the Lord and for his church. But yet we do see the apostles struggle, don't we? For the second half of verse 22 he writes, "Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. Yes, he is struggling. There is a pastoral struggle here for him. For yes, departing and being with Christ may be far better for him, being in the presence of Jesus Christ all the time. But God has also given him the body of Christ, the church, the saints here upon this earth, of whom he loves, of whom he cares for. And for him, he is torn. Do I keep on living for Christ in an effort to witness to that body? Or is my desire to be with Christ better by far? In verse 24, he writes, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." You see how the apostle is so Christ-centered in his life. He's not a self-centered person. A self-centered person would say, yes, my chains and my suffering, even the church, some of them have preached stirring up trouble for me. Maybe I should just end it all. God's put me in this situation. I'll just go be with Christ and that'll be it. That's not his attitude. The apostle has put Christ at the center of his life, not himself. And the reason he continues on in the body is for Christ and for the body of Christ. And so he writes in verse 24, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." The apostle recognizes that God has given him an important role. He represents Christ as his apostle, and as long as he continues to live, he witnesses for Christ Jesus. The church, the body of Christ, is blessed, even in his chains. Well, you may ask, what can he do while he's in his chains? Here he is, a man put in chains. What can he do? How can he help the church? Well, he prays for them. He writes letters to them, answering their questions. He is present in the body, giving them hope that someday he may once again be with them. Look at verse 25. "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith." How can Paul's presence help them with their progress and their joy in the faith? Remember what he wrote in verse 9? "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight." The apostle is praying for the body of Christ, in particular for the body of Christ in Philippi. The apostle writes letters to the body of Christ in Philippi. The apostle may not seem to be able to do much, but what he can continue to do for Christ, for the kingdom of Christ here upon this earth, he does with all of his heart and with all of his soul. He's not focused on ending it all and escaping and recognizing, oh, now maybe the Lord's called me to this being the end and giving up. Despite his suffering, he continues to focus on Christ and his witness for Christ here in this world. And so he concludes in verse 26, "So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." You see, the apostle does have hope at this point that he may return to the Philippians. His prayer is that if he returns again, the joy of Christ Jesus will be in them. not the joy that they see Paul again, not that Paul is such a great man and wow, what a wonderful thing he did getting out of prison. Their joy in Christ Jesus. You see, the word that Paul uses here in verse 26 is the same word that is used for the return of Christ. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow. When we see Christ Jesus, when he returns to this earth, our joy will overflow. The apostle is Christ Jesus' representative. If that day comes when he may return to Philippi, his return, the return of Christ's apostle, who is so intimately connected with Christ and the other world, will bring about joy of Christ Jesus. For as they see Paul, they see Christ. You see, we live in a self-centered world. As my grandma was in a retirement home and rarely left her room, she couldn't do much. She'd often write, "I am no good. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far." But for 98 years, she kept on living. And so what did she do? Well, she prayed. She prayed for her kids, for her grandchildren, for the church. She wrote letters of encouragement to the kids, to the grandchildren, to the church. Her focus was not herself and her own circumstances, but her focus was Christ and living for Christ each year and each day of her lives. We live in a self-centered world. As the suicide rate climbs, you hear people say, well, the reason for that was because they couldn't deal with the circumstances in their life. We just live in a very difficult society. As people get older and fall ill, there's talk now of mercy killings, of taking your life, of ending it all so you won't have to suffer. You see, this is not the mindset of the apostle. The circumstances in his life, no matter what they are for Christ. They're for living for Christ. They're for serving for Christ. No matter what the circumstances, he can still pray. No matter what the circumstances, he can still be an encouragement to others. He can do what he can to help them and encourage them along in their faith and in their life. And he can so clearly write these words: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." These should be the words of every believer. This should be the life of every believer. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. If that is not your desire, then maybe your life is not Christ. For if your life is Christ, if your focus of the future is Christ, you will not love your life, nor will you be afraid to lose it. One of the things that we celebrate and think of today is Father's Day. The father has an important role in the home. And there are a lot of fathers who are very self-centered. Their focus is not for Christ and for the family to love Christ, but the focus of their family is for themselves, for their own gain, for what they want. but a Christ-centered father who represents Christ in the home as Paul represented Christ to the Philippians, focuses his life on the life of those in his family on Christ. I am here not for myself, but for the good of those God has given me. I am here not for myself or what I want. I am here so that they may show progress and joy in the faith. I serve Christ in the church so that the fellow believers will know joy and progress in the faith. And when they see me, it's not because I'm a good guy or such a wonderful person, but their joy in Christ Jesus will overflow more and more on account of Him. The apostle is calling each one of us to speak and to know these words: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, serving Christ and His church on this earth." Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the words of the apostle. For, Lord, how he centered his life not upon himself, but upon the Savior. Lord, may these be the words of our lips: "For to live is Christ, and to die is gain." May we be so intimately connected with the Savior in the other world that whatever circumstances come upon our life do not matter, for we are able to see how you use those circumstances for the kingdom of Christ here on this earth. May we, Father, work at serving the church and serving our families, serving the fellow believers around us that you have placed in our lives for their progress and joy in the faith. May we be so closely identified with Christ Jesus that we thank you for one another, because the joy of Christ is shared in our presence with one another. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.